Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 353. If you'd like a copy of it, we have CDs and audio tapes. Please specify which one you want. That's program 353. It's absolutely free, including the postage and handling, and so Sharon will show you four different ways to receive a copy of one at the end of the program. You can get more than one if you want to give them out to your friends, families, and even your enemies, because if they become born-again Christians, members of the corporate body of Christ, they won't be your enemies anymore. They'll be your friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord. We have music today. I have a powerful message from the Lord from the second chapter of the book of Revelation. And also, I'd like to share with everybody in this entire world about the church in another way. I've told people, and the Bible tells us different parables of the church. And for instance, in the first chapter of Ezekiel, talks about the church and the Lord together as a wheel, the Lord in a wheel, in the midst of a wheel. In the book of Revelation, it talks about the churches as the golden candlesticks, and the Lord is in the midst of them there, just as he is in the midst of the flying saucers. The saucers is a corporate body of Christ the head, and we the body, the other wheel. The Lord is the hub, and we are the rim or the tire. And this parable in the Bible talks about the church in another way. And it, because the Lord has to come at people in so many different ways that there will be no mistake if people are really preaching the gospel as to the Lord and his body, his church, his bride, the New Jerusalem, the temple, and so on. You know that the church, in the eyes of the Lord, is a pearl. As I pointed out in many other messages that I brought, is the Lord likens the church to a pearl. That's in Matthew 13:46. A pearl is something transformed in death. And the body of Christ is also transformed in death waters. So a pearl also is in the waters, the death waters. Jesus, when we get baptized in water, that's symbolic of the death of the watery grave of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the pearl is transformed. It's not something that is originally created by God. It has to be, it's not something that originally was created by God. The method of how it is created, although it was created by God. The reason I say that is that the method of pearls, God has something to do with that, but he did not originally create pearls, or for that matter, eggs. First came the chicken, and then the egg. Because the chicken started laying eggs, but the seed or the eggs were in the chicken. So in the same thing, there's the seed. God created the animals and the birds and the fish, and he put the seed in them. So whenever you hear anybody say, what came first, the chicken or the egg? It was the chicken. Okay, so in essence, the Lord did create it. So this indicates that the church is not something natural, but it's supernatural. It is something supernatural. It was not there in God's creation, but the Bible tells us that we were there before the very foundation of the earth. And so all these things were taking place at that time. So the church is something that is transformed in the death waters as well. We get into a lot of this later on. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint his service. Father, I thank you, Lord, because you're not a sweet-talking, dainty-walking God. I would never be able to respect you if you were. You're so powerful. You created the heavens and the earth. That's like the earth is powerful. But it's only a creation of yours. And the sun is powerful. but it's just a mere creation of yours. The moon is powerful, and the different stars are powerful, and the galaxies are powerful, and the fullness in this word, and the oceans, and all the mountains, the hills, the valleys, the streams, the rivers are powerful. And you created them, so you're not a dainty person like the people that don't believe in you say you are, or that you didn't raise from the dead. This world, the actual planet, is being upheld and stays together because of your powerful spirit. You uphold everything by your word. Your word is spirit in its life. Therefore, Lord, we need to receive your word into us in order to have your power in us. You do not want us to be powerless. So therefore, you put yourself in our midst, like you did the seven golden candlesticks, which are representative of the church. Or the pearl of great price is the church. It's not just one of us individually. It's the entire church as a corporate body of people together that you live in the midst of and are doing a great and mighty work in this world. And it's just mind-boggling to me that people don't fall on their faces and repent and accept you as their personal savior and you as their God for leadership and for wisdom and knowledge and understanding and for the right to enter the kingdom of heaven on the last day. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Therefore, Lord, you liken us. You showed Sue and myself flying saucers when we prayed to see him. And now, just recently, I found the understanding of that from you, which you tell me that this is you in the midst. It's a wheel within the wheel that Ezekiel saw in the midst of this flying saucer, which is the body of Christ. And you're likening us onto that because there's no great and mighty work going to be done unless everybody is living the church life and unless you're in the midst of that church and unless you are directing every move of that church. And when you're directing the moves of that church, the wheel, then your word will go rolling throughout the world. You'll be doing supernatural miracles that the news media will not be able to resist. And it'll be front page, number one news in the world because no one will be able to ignore it. And therefore, Lord, I pray that all these things, all these parables that you've given of the church, we're like wheat, and the parables that you, the sower, where you say that you were the sower of the seed. And you in us, we are to sow a seed. And if we don't, we're not part of that flying saucer. We're not part of those seven golden candlesticks. We're not part of that pearl. We're outside the pearl. We're outside the flying saucer. We're outside of the golden candlesticks. And therefore, we're not part of the corporate body of Christ, and you are not our head. And so, Lord, the reason I'm preaching these messages that you're giving me, the reason you're preaching them through me is because we're in the last days, and the knowledge of the Lord is known. These flying saucers were like you sending angels unto Sue and myself and showing these to the people of the world, so that people could see the speedy work that you would be doing in these last days. The work is fast as lightning. It's like fire, like the speed, faster than any speed that human beings has ever seen before. Faster than lightning, faster than a speeding bullet, faster than the aircraft, all the different aircrafts we have, because you can see it 1,000 miles away, and then it's right on you. There's nothing that fast in this entire universe but your word. This is all symbolic of the word, because you are the word. You are the seed. So the sword was to sow the word into people's hearts, which is the good soil. Some of them are have cares of the world, and some of them are easily taken away from you because they have the cares of this world. They love riches and wealth. It's so hard for a rich man. How hardly shall a rich man enter the kingdom of heaven? Because their mind is set on the money that they have and the things that money buys and the type of comfortable life that they're able to enjoy in this world. But you, your word plainly tells us that if we want to be part, and if you are to be in our midst, we have to get our mind off of money, because if you want us to have money, you'll give it to us, but we're not to place our minds on the money, because when we do that, our eyes are off you, and our eyes are on the world and the riches and the pleasures of this world. And this causes people to, that's the same thing as the devil. The birds, the fowls of the air come and snatch the good word out of people's hearts so that they are not able to be saved and to bring forth fruit to perfection. Now, the Bible plainly says that there's all these people that won a lot of souls, but they don't bring the souls to perfection. In other words, there has to be a church. That's what the parable of the seven golden candlesticks are, the seven churches of God. And it has to be a church, not an individual. And our lives have to be based around Christ, and then the church life with Christ. And if that isn't happening, well, Father, then people cannot be saved. We have to be enjoying the church life, the seven candlesticks, the pearl of great prices, the church, your body, your bride, the New Jerusalem, the temple that you live in here. If people's minds are on riches and the pleasures of this world, that isn't allowing Christ to live in them. That's not the church. That's why it's so hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. That's why the Lord told this rich man to give everything that he had to the elders. The elders would give it to the poor in the gospel and in things that they need. And there's so many things that people need and so many things that people want to do for the Lord, but they're strapped because the people that are the rich people in the world, they just hang on to every dollar and they're not going to be able to take it with them in eternity. Lord, we pray that you'll come against, that you'll destroy every devil of hell that is ready to snatch these good words, the good seed that you're about ready to sow in people's hearts through my mouth. Lord, that you'll destroy every enemy of the Lord, that you'll rebuke Satan and rebuke every devil away from people's hearts, that they'll be able to receive these words that you're about to preach through me and teach through me, and that you'll build, that you put a wall around everyone, causing Satan not to be able to come in so that they can hear the word and be saved. Because you said you'd be doing a quick work in the last days, and this is a work that is fast as those flying saucers. When you do something, Lord, you do it fast. Your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's able to get into the mind, the heart, the soul, the spirit, the dividing asunder of spirit and soul, and right into the marrow of our bones. And Lord, I pray that you do that in this message today. And I believe that you're going to do it, because I have faith in that when we pray to you, that you give us, if we're keeping your commandments, whatsoever we ask. Because also we ask it in the name of Jesus. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, Here's the song that everyone, you rich folks out there, should pay strict attention to. How long has it been since you prayed to the Lord up in heaven? Has it been a long time? We're supposed to pray without ceasing. But the money you have is keeping your mind on the pleasures that you can buy in this world and vacation time and let's go here and there and so on. And really, these things that you're doing with your money and your time, it's not doing you any good. You're not happy. You don't have any fulfillment. You know you're not doing anything for the Lord. Listen to the words of this song and receive them into your heart in Jesus' name. How long? This is me singing, How Long Has It Been? Well, we had this J.D. Sumner and the Stamps backing me up on it.
You talk with the Lord and told Him your heart's hidden secret. How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? It been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden?
And you called Him your friend. How long has it been since you knew?
Praise the Lord. What I mean by the church is something that has been transformed in the death waters means that when we come to the cross for salvation, we have to come to the cross. People say we don't have to do anything, that the Lord's going to come to us, that He's just your boy or something like that. But they're wrong. They make themselves higher than the Lord. We have to humble ourselves and come before the Lord and confess that we are sinners. And then after He cleanses all of our former sins away, then we're not sinners anymore. We become the sons of God. But that's what it means. And then He says we have to, the Spirit enters into us when we're washed in the blood of Jesus. And then we're transformed in the death waters because we ourselves are supposed to die there. Our former lives are dead. We have to give up this life, or the way we live, that is, in order to be able to gain eternal life, the life, the new life, the life that is forever. And if you think money is more important than living forever in paradise, well, then there is a lot wrong in your thinking. I don't mean to be offensive, but sometimes, and many times, the word of the Lord offends the rich, the people that think they're rich. But actually, you never are rich when you don't have the Lord. You don't have eternal life. What do you have? The money you're not going to be able to take with you. You could get your shoes and socks on today and your clothes and comb your hair and everything and go out and be killed in an instant. There's drive-by shootings and all kinds of crazy things going on. All kinds of incredible accidents that could cause you to go out into eternity. And then you'll be sorry because you robbed God by not giving finances, giving your money unto Him. The Lord requires that we do something to further the gospel in this world. And if you had no mercy on the people in this world, in other words, to get the gospel to them, then the Lord will have no mercy on you. And you can read the first chapter of the book of Proverbs, and that's what the book of Proverbs tells, is that you'll call upon the Lord for mercy when you feel your soul going out of your body, and He will laugh at you. And He will mock you. You'll be saying, "Oh, God, have mercy." Why should God have mercy on you if you didn't have mercy on Him, His church? His church is the one that He walks around. He likens the church as the pearl of great price. And the reason it's great price is because the church cannot be bought with money. He had to pay for the church with His own life. He had to shed His life's blood. The Bible says that the life, our life, is in the blood, our blood. If you drain our body of blood, there's all the life is gone. And when Jesus drained, when the blood of Jesus was drained from His body, His life was gone. And actually, the life now is in this, after we've been washed with the blood of Jesus from all of our former sins, then the life is in the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is likened also unto the blood. The Word is life, and it is Spirit. And so the life is in the Holy Spirit. The law of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is a law. And then there's the law of sin and death, and there's the law of faith. I heard a preacher saying that, and it's absolutely true, and I've preached it in many other ways. He says, if the law, you can't change the laws of God. So there's the law of faith, and it says that you have to, it's the law that you cannot receive anything without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen?
Amen.
So don't try to receive anything from God. Some people are saying, why doesn't God hear me? It's because you're maybe, and I believe it is, because God is the same with everybody. He's no respecter of persons. If you're keeping the law of faith, in other words, I want to be healed, but I don't believe that God can heal me. I want to have money, but I don't believe the Lord can give me money. Well, if you don't have faith to believe that God can heal, if you don't have faith to believe that God can deliver you from false accusers and deliver you from evil people, well, then you're not obeying the law of God. If there is the law of faith, look it up and we'll read it a little bit later. It's called the law of faith, the law of faith. So there's all kinds of laws. There was the law of sacrifices. There's the moral law. The law of sacrifices ended. We no longer have to sacrifice animals, but now we sacrifice ourselves and all that we have. And why? Because God sacrificed everything that He had,
Amen.
Including His own life. Amen?
Amen?
So that's everything. You can't give anything more than your entire life. And so the Bible says that that's our reasonable duty. And if you put money before God, well, then you're a real heathen. That's really a devil, because you cannot buy salvation with money. Even if you gave everything that you had, that won't buy it. You have to have the Lord living in you. You must be born again of the Spirit and washed in the blood. And you have to be baptized in water and filled with the Holy Spirit in order to make it into the kingdom of heaven. That's the law of God. These are all laws of God. To walk after the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and the law of faith. The law of faith. Did you find it? Oh, she's still looking for it. All right, so there is the law of faith. You can't break the law. You're going to say, well, I want my son to be healed. I want my daughter to be healed. Well, do you believe that the Lord is a healer? Well, no. Well, then you're not obeying the law of faith. Amen?
Amen.
And so don't expect your daughter or your son to be healed. Or for that matter, you or your mother, your dad, your loved, any one of your loved ones, or anyone that you're praying for. If you don't believe that there's a law, because God knows when you're praying to Him if you have faith. Amen?
Amen.
And He knows, He's the one that came up with that law, and you can't go around the law. If somebody's, oh Lord, heal my dad, heal my son, heal my daughter, oh, raise them from the dead, you don't believe any of these things. You don't believe God. You don't have faith. You must believe the Lord, have faith, and all things will come unto you by faith. Amen?
Amen.
If you're broke, if you're despondent, if you're sad, if you want a wife, you want a husband, don't expect one unless you have faith and unless you're obeying that law of faith. Okay? So, if we obey the law of faith, then all things whatsoever we ask in the name of Jesus in faith, it's the law, will be given to us. Now, God doesn't lie. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, let's all obey the law of faith. Let's go to the throne. Let's believe that we have to be transformed from this old life of ours. We have to be part of the church. The church is the life of God. What do you mean, the life of God? Well, that's where God lives, is in the church. But not just one person, that means the whole body of Christ. It's like a flying saucer. It's all together. The Lord is in the midst, and the church is around the Lord, always around the Lord. It doesn't take off. Sue and I saw those flying saucers shaving our windshield and coming at us with faster than anything. I've seen lightning, and I've seen wind and storms and everything. I've never seen it. And I've seen fast airplanes, and I've been on fast aircraft. But there's nothing as speedy as the church under the auspices of Christ being in the midst of that church. The Lord gives the instruction to the church. The church carries it out with the speed of lightning. The church carries it out with the speed of lightning, and like fire with zeal. Without that zeal, you don't have any faith in the Lord. If you don't have zeal, if you're just sitting at home and talking and watching TV or going to parties or going to social clubs or to doing the things that the world does. But the Lord wants the entire world evangelized quickly, because He's coming back to earth again. And if you don't believe that the Lord wants this done, then you won't do any of these things. The Lord requires obedience, and it's impossible to be obedient without faith. I can't obey somebody that I don't believe. Could you?
No.
Well, I believe the Lord. Did you find the scripture? I'm saying there's all kinds of laws. The law of sin and death, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the moral law, the law of sacrifices, which is over with, and now we have the law of faith. The law of faith is in Romans 3:27. Now go ahead and read what the scripture says.
Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith.
So there is the law, and we are supposed to be messengers of the law, We're not like we're police officers. We police those that have faith, and we police those that don't have faith. Those that don't have faith are not allowed in the church, and those that do have faith are allowed in the church. They're part of the church. I didn't make that rule. It's the law of faith. Those that believe shall be saved. In other words, those that have faith, they obey the law of faith, they're saved. Those that disobey the law of faith are lost. So Romans 3:27 states the law of faith. It's not by our works, but it's the work of the Lord, by our keeping the word of God, which says that we're keeping the law of faith. So the transformation of the church is the life of God. I read of how a pearl is produced originally. A pearl was just a little rock or a grain of sand, as I said before. And one day an oyster was wounded by this little rock or piece of sand. And it was irritating to the oyster. So the oyster started excreting its life juice around the little rock or piece of sand, and this secretion transforms the little rock or piece of sand into a real pearl. This is also the way that the church of the Lord is produced. Christ came into the world, which was filled with death. This entire world is filled except with the exception of the church, is filled with death, and he was wounded by the sinners, all of us. Then he secreted his life juice, which was his blood, around the sinners to make them into a pearl of great price. And that pearl of great price is the church, the true church of the Lord. Not the Vatican, because that's the anti-church, the anti-Christ, the anti-God. So I'd like to remind you of the parables in chapter 13 of Matthew. This first one is the sower that went out to sow the good seed. The Lord tells us that if you believe, all things are possible if you believe. If you believe, that's the law right there. It tells you. If only if you believe are you able to receive. Amen?
Amen.
If you believe, that's the law, you shall receive. And so that's the life of the law of the life of Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So if you believe, all things are possible. But it says only, law now, only believe. Amen?
Amen.
That's all you have to do is believe. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, that's the law, the rule. Amen?
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then you shall be saved. But not if you don't believe. So that's the law. Amen?
Amen.
So the good seed. So the sower went out to sow the good seed. The seed of life. Like verses 3 and 8 and 19 and 23. The sower in Christ is Christ himself, who comes to sow himself, his life, as the seed into us. But he is only sown into us by faith. That's the law. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now the law is that he is the Word, and whosoever believeth the Word, which is Christ, he's the seed, he's the Word, whosoever believeth on the Lord shall be saved. How about those that don't believe? No, they can't be saved. Because the law is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And that means believe on the entire word of God. Now shall be saved because he's the word of God. The second parable is the parable of the tares, the false wheat the false Christians, verses 24 through 30. The Lord came to sow the good seed with the intention of getting the real wheat, the real believers, the true believers, the ones that really believe that it's a law, in order to receive the Lord into you and all of his benefits. Prosperity. Not the kind of prosperity that you see these preachers talk about where you get a new car, send your children to reprobate universities, but for the Lord to take care of you. Amen?
Amen.
That's prosperity to me. All you need is a bed to sleep in and some food, amen, and some warmth and some cool whenever it's needed, and to pay your utility bills and to pay your bills. The true believers, they're getting the real wheat. God's getting and the real wheat are the true believers. But there's these devils that are sowing tares, or the Lord, or the believers, or the church, or the body of Christ. But the enemy of the Lord came and sowed tares, in other words, weeds, in the field where the real good wheat was. These tares or weeds grew up as the false wheat. This means that the Lord comes to give us his life, if we believe, with the intention of regenerating us as a true church or believers. And you have to believe. You have to have faith to receive the Lord. You have to have faith in the entire Word of God, because the entire Word of God is Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And in order to be part of his body, you must believe as he does. You have to believe in him and his way of life, the straight and narrow life. Anything else is not faith. If you're veering away from these things, then it's impossible for you to be saved. It's impossible to please God without faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So faith is the law in order to receive anything from God. Amen?
Amen.
It's the law. So they are the true Christians, but the enemy, Satan, comes to bring into existence on the earth a great number of the believers, false Christians. So not too long after the day of Pentecost, we see the wheat, and we see also the trees growing up together in the field. That is the true believers as well as the false believers. The Lord wants wheat, not oak, these pine trees and things like that. True but false believers existing together on this earth. The third parable is the parable of the mustard seed. And we'll get into that maybe tomorrow. I don't want to give too much of these parables at once. But the mustard seed, there's good and bad in each one of these particular parables that I'm going to be teaching about. The mustard seed is an annual herb. It's small, it's lowly, and temporary. But it's good for food. And we'll get into that later. But it turns into a tree. This is when the enemy gets into the church. Maybe I'll do it right now. Okay, you like that?
Yes.
Okay. It tells in that parable, it's lowly and temporary, the real true Christians. Lowly like the lowly Nazarene. But it's good for food. However, its nature changes, just like the wheat field. All of a sudden, here's weeds coming up into it. So the nature changes to so that it becomes a big tree. Now, how does an herb or a piece of wheat turn into a tree? Huh?
Mm-hmm.
There's something happened there. Amen?
Amen?
We don't eat trees. We eat herbs. Amen?
Amen.
This indicates that the church must be an herb on this earth. Small, even though there's like small clusters of churches that are true. It can't be a big thing like a big tree. Small, lowly, temporary, full of life. And it is for the food that is necessary for our life. However, the nature of the church has changed. In other words, there's some people that opened up a church and put some leaven in there. The church has become a big tree, not a little herb. I don't want to have pine tree for dinner, do you?
No.
But I like little herbs, amen?
Amen.
So Christianity, this is supposed to be Christianity? No, it's not. Now we have to take a real good look at the Vatican and St. Peter's Cathedral. What a tremendous big tree that is, amen?
Amen.
Oh, tremendous! Amen?
Amen.
What an herb! When an herb becomes a tree, it is no longer good for people to eat. Amen?
Amen.
We must eat Christ, the true word, and drink his blood. It's good for the birds to lodge in this big tree. Amen?
Amen.
The birds of the first parable signify the evil one. And even in the Old Testament it says the evil birds that dove like owls and cormorants and bitterns and vultures and eagles and all these things. Evil spirits. The evil one. Satan, verses 4 and 19. The birds here refer to the evil persons, the sons of the devil, the false Christians who lodge in today's supposed to be Christian church. It's fake. It's false Christianity. As the biggest organization on this earth, politically and in every way, is politically and in every way, it is spiritually evil. What about you? Were ye, where are you today? What are you in the little herb or in the worldwide great big tree lodging there? In the eyes of the world as the church. As the church. We should not be anything like that. We must be just like a little lamb. Or a little herb, small and even lowly and really dead. When we come to Christ, we must die out to our old life. But these people not only didn't die out to their own life, but they started living this miserable, big, grandiose life of pomp and huge cathedrals and tempting music, like the voices of what people would believe are angels, and these beautiful paintings. Now, the Lord never had anything like that when he was here on earth, or did any of his disciples or his apostles, or his prophets. It's not the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
It's dead. Temporary. We're not going to be here. This world is not our home. We're just pilgrims going through. It's a temporary place on this earth that we are to live until we totally occupy the earth with Christ when he comes back to earth. Really good for the Lord to consume and for us to consume the Lord. With the big tree, there is the vain glory of this time that we're living in. If you want to do something for the church, you have to do it in the way that Christ would do it. He was the meek and lowly Savior. He was witnessing on the shores of Galilee and in the mountains without really any big church at all. There wasn't any church at all. We let the Lord do whatever He's going to do in us. Sometimes it might be a small way, and sometimes a medium way, and sometimes you'll do a great big work for the Lord, but always you must be lowly in whatever capacity it is. Whatever He's doing through you, don't attempt to do anything as the Vatican does, or in a big building and spending all that money on that instead of, look at all these orphans and starving people all over the world right here in the United States. Only if the Lord is doing something big in you will you do something big. But it won't be the bigness of a satanic way, like the Lord never built any huge, humongous buildings with the statues of angels flying all over the place. That's contrary to the word of the Lord. Don't try to do anything. Let the Lord do the thing in you. He doesn't want us to do any good or evil. He wants, because we don't know how to do anything good or evil, we're supposed to just yield unto Him. The Lord doesn't want you to do anything but die and let Him do the work with you and in you. You can be with Him doing the work. Always keep in mind that the church is resurrected from the dead because of Christ and Him only, not you. Nothing of you, or nothing of the Vatican, or nothing of any big political organization. So you remain small to the Lord, but you appear big to the people on earth. But not like the Vatican, with the false doctrine and the way they are in the political arena today, and the way they're causing wars. We know that people that say they're Christians and that are starting wars, like President Bush, he's taking orders from the Vatican. He can't be a Christian and be bombing people to death.
Amen.
Okay? And if you want to appoint that kind of a person over you, well, then you're to blame. Don't expect anything more to them. They're acting on their good behavior just before elections. Then, in the fourth parable, we can see a woman taking leaven. Leaven is the same as sin. And she's taking leaven and adding it into the meal, the flour. Verses 33 through 35. This woman is the same as the woman Jezebel mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 20. The great whore of Revelation, the Vatican, and the great harlot, mentioned in Revelation 17, verses 1 through 5, signifies the Roman Catholic Church. This evil woman added leaven, or sin, signifying evil things, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and 8, and evil teachings, Matthew 16, verses 6, 11 through 12, into the fine flour, signifying all the teachings concerning Christ. And in particular, the truths concerning Christ as our food that we eat. But when leaven is put into the bread, it's very easy to eat that. You know, I like soft bread, don't you? Got lots of leavening in it. And but it's not the cross-carrying, self-denying type of church. So leavened bread is easy to eat, and it's very often delicious. The Roman Catholic Church put a lot of evil things into the meal, into the church, concerning Christ to make them easy for people to receive. Like mafia people can go out and kill people. Then they can come in, confess it, and say a few Hail Marys, and play with the beads a little bit, light a candle and all that, and pay them some money, and then they're off the hook. But not with the Lord. Okay, so that's evil. That's leaven. But the Lord says we have to take up the cross on a daily basis ourselves and follow Him. You know that there is nothing written in the Bible concerning Christians. Regarding those things. So we know that this is also leaven. Christians that do these kind of things, all right? So there's nothing in the Bible talking about some holiday that we have to have lights on a tree and worship the Lord. No, it's all right. That's a deal, I guess. But it's no ironclad thing in the Bible about that at all. So in the first four parables, we are able to see the lineup of the seed. The seed is of life and is good for food. Jesus is that seed, and the Word of God is the seed. God is the seed. In the first parable, the seed is sown. God is sown. In the second parable, the seed grows up. God grows up in us. We're the temple. In the third parable, the seed grows up into something with contamination involved with it. Satan comes in and sows tares. Its nature is changed because of false doctrine. In the fourth parable, something is evil is added also, mixed in with the meal that comes out of the seed. With the first four parables, there is the line of life. Christ comes as the seed of life to be sown into us, the Word, that is, with the intention of Himself growing something real in us. But at the certain point, there was a change in nature. People are afraid of persecution, so they changed the church of the Lord. In other words, the enemy sowed tares into them and did it quietly. There was a great change in the appearance now, because it's not built on the solid rock Christ Jesus, the Word of God, Christ. Not only so, there was a corruption in the element. The Lord came with the intention to sow Himself, not weeds or tares into us or bad wheat, but Himself, the good wheat, the good shepherd, the good seed of life, to grow as the true wheat and to produce the pure meal. But the enemy came in to change the nature and appearance and to corrupt the element. This is why there is such a great falling away of the church today. And the fifth parable is that of the treasure hidden in the field, Matthew 13:44. The treasure must consist of gold, precious stones, and pearls. Okay? Then in the sixth parable in Matthew 13:45-46, which we read at the beginning of this chapter, we have the pearl of great price, both the treasure consisting of gold and precious stones, and the pearl are not something created specifically by God, but are something transformed from the natural to the supernatural. And I see my time is up. And how would you like to be supernatural? To be transformed like the pearl, to become the pearl of great price, or the good wheat instead of bad wheat. The good wheat rather than weeds. If you would say this prayer to the Lord, this will happen to you. Something very supernatural will happen to you. And just do it and you'll see. Say to the Lord, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my filthy former sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Your word says that you'll turn no one away. And so I know that that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord. And make sure that you are baptized, fully submerged in water in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And make sure that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which gives you the power over sin, Satan, the world, and yourself, everything. So, in your lusts, all the lusts of this world and temptation. So, right now, and if you don't know how to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all you have to do is write me or call me or ask me, and Sharon will give you four different ways to receive a copy of this tape. This is tape or CD number 353. Tell me.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure you tune in tomorrow for another powerful message of truth. The only truth on the face of this earth. Until then, this is the Life Choir singing the Life Prayer Song.
Thank you.